It is Wednesday, the 22nd of April, 2015, and this is episode 243 of Digital Outbox. Did you know we've done 243 of these blasted things? I'm Chris in the host seat today, and Ian is in, well, I don't know what seat yours is. What's your seat?
It's a kind of hot seat tonight because it's 20 degrees in sunny Glasgow.
20 degrees in Glasgow? This must be the apocalypse.
It's global warming.
Ah, there you go. It's a beautiful thing. On cue, we have the ice cream van.
I just said it a minute ago. I just thought, it's hot. It's summer. It's ice cream.
It's time for the ice cream van. So there we go. Let's get on with the news.
Jinky fancy sponsors, because I think we could do some sort of deal that if we mention his brand and he gives you an ice cream every week,
it'll be even heavier and even slower. Yes. EU has been flexing its muscles. It has. Provisionally said that Google has been abusing its dominant search position by promoting its shopping services above others on its search results, which is an allegation that Google deny. Yet the ruling has come in that they you know, pretty much have been accused of it, and this could lead to billions in fines.
There's so many different stories from shopping comparison sites that say they've been affected by Google over the years. And The Guardian have linked to some stuff recently that shows, and it showed quite clearly that there was shopping comparison engines pushed way down overnight. You know, they changed nothing. They swear they changed nothing. Google says they've done nothing, but they went from page one and the top hit to, you know, page 80, you know, just buried, never find them, doesn't matter what you search for. And they've always said they've not done anything, but the EU, Farage's friend, have said that they're basically saying they have abused their position and they're now letting Google do some sort of response.
They've got a certain amount of time to now come back with a response. 10 weeks they've got to come back with a response to the allegations.
And the people that kind of made the antitrust allegations, Microsoft, TripAdvisor, StreetMap, you know.
This was a consortium that deliberately excluded Google. I can't remember when it was made and what it was made for, but they decided they were going to go after Google, and this is one of the things that they've brought, and obviously it's been successful.
And I guess that Google's, in some ways, it's unique in that they've got 90% of EU-based web searches. I mean, it's a lot higher than anywhere else in the world. And the EU is very much, Google is the search engine. And I think America, it's more like, I think it's under 80%. I think Bing still has quite a big market share there. And it's interesting because this almost feels like, you know, the Microsoft antitrust stuff that happened.
And that's the irony of it, isn't it? I guess it's Microsoft saying, look, you broke us up because of our dominance in the desktop market. You stopped us from doing all these things. It's our turn to make sure those rules are also applied to the modern day. And it's been proven many times before that a dominance in a market does lead to these things, even if it's inadvertent or even if it's not even deliberate. It's just the way the market works because it's skewed so heavily. And I guess we should celebrate the fact that they have got something to answer, even if they deny that there is anything to answer.
It's a difficult one because I think the point you've made there is valid. Just try to compete with something like Google is just so difficult. And does that mean it's wrong? You know, just because of being successful, you know, does that
lack of people coming into a marketplace because the barriers are so high now mean, you know, because even Microsoft couldn't penetrate that, you know, the Bing, although it made a bigger impression than that some people thought it might, even with all their kind of infrastructure they hook Bing into, it's still not really a massive player.
The interesting thing from a lot of Google advocates, if I call them that, they reckon this is anti-American. They reckon it is an attack by Europe on America, which is interesting when you look at the range of companies that actually that actually went to the EU and asked them to do this. It's American companies. You know,
it's American companies.
You know, it wasn't, you know, Samsung. It wasn't some UK or European-based country or company. It wasn't somebody from the Far East. It was American companies and playing a very political game.
I think that there's definitely politics involved, though. The reason that they're bringing challenges in Europe is because they know there is a political landscape of Europe making sure that American companies and internet companies in general. And okay, America happens to be the sort of a massive player in that industry, but just internet companies in general don't believe that they are bigger than the jurisdictions that they work within, which in some ways, the law is just taking a long time to catch up with those lack of jurisdictions. And maybe this is partly along those lines. It's just trying to reset lines back to where, you know, those legal frameworks want them to be.
I do wonder, because we saw all this stuff, obviously it started off in Spanish courts, wasn't it? With the whole, I can hide myself and you can change search results, and Google offered to put an awful lot of changes in place in their infrastructure to allow that to happen. You know, if they're found guilty, if they get a massive fine, and if they can absorb a fairly massive fine, do they just shut Google Shopping down in the EU and say, sod it, you don't get it? Because I remember, I think the same happened with Google News. Was it Spanish newspapers refused to support it, and they went, fine, we're shutting it down, and their internet traffic dropped through the floor.
So do we as consumers actually lose out?
And I think it was the Spanish, and I might have got the country wrong, but I'm sure whichever country's newspapers had decided on this then went to the EU and said, Google are not allowed to drop this service. And it was like, well, it's almost impossible, but if a company wants to drop a service, they can drop a service.
Yeah.
If that affects your traffic, then tough titties.
I mean, some of me thinks that there's probably a bit of two sides thing going on here. You know, they're not necessarily judge out of their depth maybe, but you know, at the end of the day, they're there to make sure that things are still swimming along. I can't get myself too excited by it all, though.
I just think I actually think it's just a bit unfair. So Google's getting targeted in this way. And investigators, so this is Marguerite Vestager, has also announced that they're going to launch an investigation into the way Google bundles apps and services for Android.
Which, again, it's the same thing that happened to Microsoft, isn't it, though? Once you're in that dominant position, you do face these attacks that can be pulled off, even when someone like an Apple, who isn't, you know, lucky in their position, they can bundle their apps and completely block people.
Apple's lucky in that, yes, it can bundle Safari, but their desktop share is still so low compared to Windows. And I'm guessing in iOS, because Android's so dominant.
Yeah, that's it. They've had that, even though it's, you know, it's dominant in numbers rather than in market share, right? It's no one company in the Android market holds that share, whereas Apple holds its whole pie.
Although I guess in the short term, even though it doesn't launch till Friday, they've kind of outsold Android watches by like 10-1 in like
you a must week. Be getting very excited.
I'm actually finding it quite amusing. Because my Twitter feed yesterday and today was full of people going, "It's just, my shipping's not changed. It's 2 days to go and my shipping's not changed. I better get this on Friday." I said to me and Shaq have ordered watches. I says, "Avengers on Friday, but it's Apple Watch Day."
It's like the release of the game.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, Benton. So anyway, that's not long away. And Google has been basically trying to catch up. So they have released updates to their Android Wear smartwatch software, and it will include additional gesturing. It's got basically screens now rather than just talk to the phone type interface. It's got a remote Wi-Fi connection to your Android device. And basically there's a few other bits and bobs, all basically inspired by it. So they've got the emoji thing. So, you know, that thing where Apple showed everyone drawing hearts, but really everyone's just going to draw penises.
The bit that was weird about this is the whole messaging bit on the Apple reviews. If you look at all, you know, like Verge and all the different sites that reviewed it, they said that messaging piece was actually probably the strangest bit of it and the bit they found least compelling. And it seems a bit weird. It almost feels like a Me Too update from Google.
But I think they have to do that. I mean,
I don't know.
You don't. What you think they should innovate in different ways?
I just think this one is one of their most knee-jerk reactions, and I think yes. It kind of stacks up to the real Apple fanboys that said, you know, if you go back to early iOS releases, Android was just in total catch-up mode, and they just kept on saying, we can do it too, we can do it too, we can do it too. And this does kind of smack of it, because it's like, we can do it too, and it's maybe the kind of lesser bits. The interesting one was using the watch over Wi-Fi, because it's the same for Apple Watch, but you need to be in the same Wi-Fi network. And I think for this update, you're saying you do not have to be on the same
Which is
Wi-Fi
quite
network.
A powerful feature, that you can have a phone sat at home in a full signal area. And as long as you're in a Wi-Fi zone, that you could actually potentially get access to those notifications from that phone. I think that's there's something about that. I mean, my initial reaction was, oh, my goodness, that, you know, hacker's delight. But wow, that could be really powerful.
And that's taking the whole, I don't need to carry the phone around and I can still be in contact. That is making it a really intelligent, you know, smart device. It is taking the, so people are saying that, you know, the phone has become their computer. But that is starting to turn that whatever size watch you've got into the same computer.
Exactly. It doesn't matter where you are as long as that phone is connected. So I'm just thinking for things like foreign calls, you can have a phone in each country and connect to it. You know, it's just, that's a bit of a random weird one. But you know what I mean? It shows the kind of things that can happen. So you could make text messages from wherever you are without actually having to have your phone with you. Pretty, some compelling stuff going on there.
Exactly. I just think when I saw the bit about doing the gestures and said that, I was like, oh, that's not great.
Well, it's not great on the Apple phone either.
No, but that's what I mean.
Twitter has now turned on its ability for you to be able to direct message anyone on Twitter, basically. So they're trying to turn their Twitter service into a messaging service. So you don't have to be following someone and they don't have to be following you for you to have direct message capabilities. It is a setting in your settings that you can turn on or off. Therefore, you don't have to have this if you don't want it. But it is them as part of their kind of ramping up of what their service is. And this is one of the aspects. I don't particularly mind that. I think it sounds fairly reasonable.
So my initial reaction was I was reading it yesterday and I had my pitchfork alongside everybody else who had initially read it and went, this is crazy for all the abuse you're going to get and there's nothing you can do about it and somebody can DM you, because I have like notifications for DMs switched on.
Yes, so you can.
So straight away I was thinking, you're just going to get bombarded by arseholes, you know, DM you nonsense. And then I saw it was opt-in and I thought, that's not so bad. It's you're opted out by default, so they've went the right route. They've not done a shady Facebook and kind of opted you in and forced you to go and change it.
2 weeks down the line, they might start turning on.
And they might turn it on. Another the other bit I thought that was good was you see a lot of company support. So like your British Gas and EE and all that. And when you see somebody having a conversation, they'll say like DM, you know, follow us so we can DM each other and do it.
And that's
private.
It. So you have to follow then, yeah.
And that gets away from that now. And I thought, great. Yep. And I saw one guy on Twitter, Ryan Block, says I'm actually quite. Might be mad, but I'm going to turn this on. And a day and a half later, he says, I've just had my first dick picture.
Right. But, you know, at the end of the day, for most normal accounts, that's not, you know, just it's just another way of someone being, it's equivalent to someone being able to email you, right?
Yeah, it is. But in some ways, you can at somebody. You know, so I can at somebody right now. So I just feel the DM is a bit more personal. DM feels like I've given you my mobile number and I'm allowing you to text me.
I mean, that's
what DM is, and the app thing is a bit more public. It's like, you know, you could email me if I put my email address on my web on my blog.
Yeah, so it will be just pinged up. Yeah, okay, granted, it allows that kind of more shady character. But then they've also announced this week that they are now turning on all their, or if they've rolled out their abuse filters. These are filters that will basically look at the messages that are coming through, and they will hide away from your feeds things that they believe to be abusive based on their own metrics, things they've banned in the past, account age, things like that. We talked about this a few weeks ago when they sort of announced all this, and I think it actually leaked a little bit. But now it's actually been turned on and made available. And I believe it was available before to verified accounts, but now is being rolled out to all accounts. And again, you can turn on and off some of this, I think. So you get some of the control. There are elements of it you can't turn off, though.
And yeah, I'm just reading down to remember its name. So there's what they've called a quality filter. which is going to be optional. And that was the part that was made available to the verified users, and it is going to get rolled out to everybody. And it does seem quite smart if somebody is trying to target somebody. And we've seen a lot of it with Gamergate. You see a lot of it with, you know, like, you know, somebody that's like, you know, like normals, like me or you, that, like, I don't know, they do something daft or they do something wrong and become overnight famous, you know, on Twitter, and the mob chases them. This should stop some of that.
So it's, what it's doing is it's looking for previously banned phrases that they've reviewed and decided were abusive, comparing the sort of text that's in them to what's going out, the age of the account, which they're saying is the, you know, and the amount of followers, I guess, that account's got, things like that. So they're looking for lots of signals, but they're also, they've expanded what they mean by abuse to be not necessarily just direct threats of abuse with, you know, in the legal term, I guess, the way that it needs to be specific, targeted, and organized. They're taking a wider view of what that means. And they're, you know, I think they've got it right. It sounds like they've got it right.
Yeah, definitely. And they've also got a second way now of kind of banning people. So it's it's almost like a more temporary.
They've got temporary suspensions now. So whereas before they had no action taken or ban account, they've now got temporary suspensions where they believe that is what's required to resolve the situation. So it's in no uncertain terms is that person clear that they have done something wrong and they should be punished for it, but it's not just a matter of them banning an account and therefore having to set up a new one.
So the article I've kind of referenced here was The Guardian once, the Zoe Quinn, and this was a lot of the Gamergate targeting was all against Zoe Quinn. And I guess she's been honest. You know, it's nice to see Twitter trying to address it, and they are kind of stuck with an unenviable, enormous task. I mean, it is such a difficult thing to control what people see as an anonymous way. I can see what I like and nobody can touch me. It is the whole, you know, moderating a forum, but the forum is worldwide and it's all mob mentality. Really, really difficult. Not easy.
We've said before and we'll say again, there are dicks out there.
Yes. Moving on.
Grant Shapps, Tory chairman. He's been accused of creating a shadow account for updating the Wikipedia entries on him and his cabinet colleagues. Naughty man. He's denied it, of course. But this strange account, which has since been shut away from, so it can't make any more changes on Wikipedia, Contribix. had spent most of its time looking at Grant Shapps's profile page on Wikipedia and getting rid of embarrassing sentences about his business dealings and how shady they all are.
No. I have specifically added this in for two reasons.
Yes.
One is that I've been kind of disappointed that we're, 3 weeks into the election campaign and there's been hardly anything on technology.
Nothing. You know, it's almost all...
just not even, I think I said to you before we started here, the only mention I've seen of it was some of the border and more kind of rural areas of Scotland. And I'm sure it must be the same, you know, maybe Northern England or, you know, parts of Middle England where it's maybe a bit more rural. Broadband and access to broadband is actually a key topic because it's such a disadvantage to a small business if they cannot get broadband. They are really, you know,
and the haves and the have-nots. The haves very, very quickly forget that there are still plenty of have-nots around. That, like, I now, you don't hear me moaning about my internet connection anymore, as I used to bitch about it on a continuous and daily basis. But now I've got it, I don't really care about anyone else. But if you're stuck in an area that doesn't have that connection, you can.
So I thought it was worthwhile that there's one technology story, and the second one is just Grant Shapps. I mean, he must have like pictures of Cameron or something. There must be something that he's got on somebody because he seems to be an absolute douche that continually embarrasses and messes up. But he's chairman of the party. It defies logic. So this is a chap who is also known as Michael Green, and there was that whole nonsense about whether he was, you know, had a second business, and also that second business was all about doing stuff online, you know, like promoting yourself online and getting you know, getting 100,000 followers and how to build a social presence and doing all that kind of stuff. The other thing that was linked to this today was he was caught with his fingers in the pie back in 2007 editing YouTube comments, pretending to be a Lib Dem candidate and a Lib Dem. But he had accidentally not logged himself out, so he still logged in as Grant Sharps, and it's still linked through to his Grant Sharps webpage and his YouTube account. And because it was all tied in with Google, you couldn't really fake that. And they tried to spin it off as, that somebody's hacked it and faked it. It's like, but you couldn't. You've been caught with your fingers in the pie again.
Yep.
And he just seems to be continually getting caught with these things. And he's come out and strongly denied it, but there just seems to be...
Shows how much manipulation goes on, doesn't it, that we're just not aware of as well.
But it's just such a, as I said, such a douchery. And I find it strange that an organisation like Wikipedia would actually do something. I'm not amazed that they've kind of blocked out the account, because they've got guidelines in place, and much like Twitter are trying to do, to try and stop all the mass editing and the kind of wrong editing, because it affects them as a trusted source. But I'm just trying to find Lib Dems, and I hate Lib Dems for everything. But they did such a great press release based on this. Yeah, there you go. So it was said, Paddy Ashdown, the chairman of the Lib Dem election campaign, wanted to say, Grant is a wonderful guy. He's a critic, conservative party, a fine sportsman, and reads a book a day. We could all learn a lot from him. He's led the Tories with exemplary skill, and if, like me, you've been lucky enough to meet him, you know you've been touched by greatness. Quite simply, a colossus. So they've done this whole spoof thing about, like, you know, he is edited.
His speech has been edited, yeah. Very good.
And
very
I clever. Just thought, well played, Lib Dem.
Yeah, very clever. Probably be lost on some people. Nokia. Heard about them? Heard of them before?
Is that Finnish company that used to sell phones?
Yeah, they got bought by Microsoft or something. Anyway, that deal is now gone, but Nokia are up for the fight. They have bought or intend to buy... Alcatel-Lucent or something like that for $16.6 billion. So they've still got a lot of cash. And this deal will likely see them back in the phone market as soon as the Microsoft deal has sort of eventually faded away. They're still on the tail end of that. So this is almost two things in one, this story. So we've got the fact that they are still around. They've still got lots of cash. They've bought someone. And... this other company they've bought is it the manufacturing side of things? Am I right? Is
manufacturing, but also in the kind of the kind of infrastructure and kind of signal side. So this is all seemingly around like 5G.
It could be that Nokia come back in 2016 and say, we've got infrastructure and the first 5G network.
But were you not one of the early? Because the only when I think of Alcatel, I just remember the Green Frog that BT used to give you as a broadband user, and it was an Alcatel Green Frog modem.
I do remember it. Yes, I had to borrow a friend's. Yes.
And as soon as I saw Alcatel, I was like, that's a Green Frog. Because it was that horrible modem. And
And never has a modem worked so well for MotoGP ever since.
Never has a game worked as well as MotoGP either.
Ever since, no, exactly. There you go, the little Green Frogs. That's them then. Ah, great. Okay. So yeah. Wow. So that's pretty massive.
Because there's a whole lot of R&D, right? And I think it's to try and place them into the, you know, we are market leaders for all everything 5G, and all that future infrastructure. You know, they would own a lot of research and development, patents, technologies, and products.
And they're going for China as well. Which, if they can crack that, boom.
And the kind of second bit to the story, so that was the kind of first that came out, you know, that came out middle of last week. But the one that came out a couple of days ago was actually the deal they've done with Microsoft was basically they bought a lot of their manufacturing and a lot of their knowledge and a lot of their phone, you know, branding and all that kind of stuff. But there was a clause that basically says, and by the way, you can't sell a phone again until 2016. And it looks like as soon as that deal's done, they want to sell a phone again.
Yeah, and... I mean, it was almost the last shot for them at the time, wasn't it? It felt like it. But they didn't sell off their patent. The patents, I think, were kept separate. So Microsoft never got their hands on them. And Nokia still holds a number of key patents. But they're actually a company doing stuff with them. So they actually license them off rather than just hold on to them and rake in the money from other people. They've actually been licensing products out. Yeah, and I mean, this whole deal that they spent this much money on, though, I guess they've been quietly talking about it in the past, because it got kind of tentatively announced, and then the next day it got sort of confirmed, which is, that's not due diligence. It should surely take longer than that. But yeah, I'm sure in the background they've been beavering away.
And they're talking about, it's the same as, remember that, and I'm trying to remember its name, they launched a tablet last year, and it was basically, it was them that designed it, but it was a Chinese firm that manufactured it. So seemingly they want to go down the same approach. They do not
want
to.
Is this the N1 tablet?
That was it, yeah. They don't want to go into, you know, setting up big manufacturing firms that are all just Nokia. They want to do the design and basically get somebody else to make it and then punt it.
Yep. And I think that makes a lot of sense in today's, you know, environment. There's no point a European company making anything because they can't compete.
And they're talking about selling their maps? Was it here? Is that their map?
Oh, I don't know.
They're talking about selling that off as well. And the rumours are that, you know, Google, Microsoft, Apple, all the kind of big ones that are trying to play catch up and trounce each other on the map side of things, that one of them would probably buy it. So again, it all looks like it's back into, let's focus on the hardware and infrastructure.
Britain lead the world. We're best at something.
Of course we are.
Yeah, we are. And it's not just running the Olympics. it's downloading pirate copies of Game of Thrones.
Ah, we are
the world leader. So yes, in the build up to this new season, we decided we were going to firstly download leaked episodes of the new season, first four episodes. And secondly, download all the older episodes to catch up with the season. Some of it's been blamed on the fact that they didn't simulcast in the UK, but I think most of it's just that people, you know, some people don't have Sky and they want to get watch it.
I think that is the true bit. Because see, if they simulcast it would have been on at 4 a.m.
Yeah, and there would have been a number of people watching it, but most people would have just skyboxed it, right?
Exactly. So you'd have recorded it and then came home from work and watched it.
Yeah.
And it was on the next day, so it was on at 9 o'clock. The majority of people that would have recorded it, if it was simulcast, would have maybe gained 3 or 4 hours. So it's bogus. It's folk that aren't willing to pay for it. And
if you've got Sky, then great. If you haven't got Sky, then there's no other real way of doing it. So
unless you want to wait a year. You know, so you can wait a year and it appears in iTunes and Blu-ray. You know, so next March they'll come out in Blu-ray and iTunes and you can download it and watch it that way.
I think there's only one other place? I think, is it Now TV, which is owned by Sky anyway, which is the only other place I think you can get it. So yeah, they've blocked out the market, and therefore the market looks for other ways around. Anyway, about 9.8% of the downloads were UK-based.
Which is amazing. So 10% of all the... Because it is the most pirated thing in the world. Mm. And 10% of it's in the UK, which is really high.
Yeah, and I don't know what I think about that, but what I do know is that because it's not generally available, that's why things like that happen. People want to watch this show.
I know, but I just wondered why so much. I mean, and part of me,
I think we're quite used to pirating in this country. I think we feel quite comfortable with it. Still do think that. I think it's becoming, in my head, it's becoming less of an issue because of all these services that are out there and the subscription services, but that's not necessarily true. That's not necessarily what's actually happening. It's just what I feel is happening. And it's probably not right.
No, I also wondered because is it HBO Now or Go Now? Now that it was launched a couple of weeks ago like an Apple TV, and I did wonder, there's a lot of people just saying, well, $15 a month or whatever, fine, and that just saves me the hassle of pirating and downloading it and unpacking it and putting it in the right format and getting it on a player.
Still quite a lot though.
It is, but I wonder if that'll dent it.
Maybe
that's why I'm it just amazes me that more people in Britain pirated it in America.
Yeah, I was gonna say, considering the numbers.
it just seems, and then India.
India's very disproportionate. Quite a lot of people. Yeah. They probably, you know, maybe they're still buying the DVDs down the market rather than going, because they Amazon Fire TV, they've whacked in the IMDb database to basically integrate it. They already had this integrated into the their Fire tablet, whatever they call it. Fire HD, whatever they call it. But now they put it on the TV as well. So you just press it up on your remote control and you get all the details about who the actors are and what they've been in. And so you can forever solve those issues. Where have I seen them? Which everyone does, right?
All right, well, I do. I think it's pretty smart. It's something that definitely differentiates from other platforms.
I didn't realize Amazon owned that, the database, but so I didn't realize that. But they've now integrated it in, and it's, as they sort of say, in a crowded market, little things like that maybe make a difference to people. There you go. That's there. That's now. Go get one if you want. Don't if you don't.
Gold.
Any other buying advice? Digital Outbox, the place to come. Have you got a pick for us?
No.
Nah, nor have I. I've got some advice.
What's that slip?
Don't leave your oil filler cap off when you're going out for a motor race. It doesn't go well.
So go on, Chris. Tell us how your weekend went.
My week, I actually feel quite jovial about my weekend. I had good fun. It was great fun meeting everyone. Race one, I only came fifth, and race two, I only came eighth. Race two not helped by the fact that I decided I was going to plaster my car with oil, which is not conducive to going fast around corners, I promise.
So I watched race one, and I think you were unlucky.
One lockup was the difference between in that race. I locked up in exactly the wrong time when it could have been perfect, and I locked up my wheel, and that was the difference between finishing first and finishing fifth.
Yep, and it was almost like it was just unfortunate, because if it had been a lap, you know, before,
would have been fine. Probably
caught up, and it would have been, hey, I've locked up. But just at that point in the race, wrong time to do it.
It was really was. I know.
Yeah.
But no, it was a good race. So if you want to see what catering racing is all about, go to academyracer.co.uk and go and watch those races, because they truly are amazing things to be a part of.
Race two, not so great.
Yeah, it was good to start with until the oil came.
It was fine. And even the camera got greasy.
Yes. Yes. Everything. My whole car is still very, very shiny. It's horrible. If you touch it, you just get gunk all over you. So I've got to go pressure wash that. This is that stuff. Anyway, eighth is still not a bad result. And I've still got an engine, which is actually more than most people. You know, that the look that vets get, you know, have to put when it's bad news. That's what the mechanics looked like when I came in. I said I'd left my oil filler cap on and I'd done half an hour race. They were like, oh, right. Okay. Well, we better get it in and have a look. Anyway, but it's fine. It ended on minimum oil. So my smooth driving must be paying off.
Oh, nice.
My fingers crossed I haven't actually.
I thought you were going to see your slick driving, but no, I mean.
There you go. Anyway, that's the end of the podcast. Thank you very much for listening and enduring us for another week. You can find out all you want about us. digitaloutbox.com is the website. You can talk to us if you like. info@digitaloutbox.com is the email address. We're also on Twitter as digitaloutbox. I'm on Twitter as cheesyuk, and as for aforementioned, my racing blog is academyracer.co.uk. Whereabouts are you, Ian?
My blog is iand.net. I'm on Twitter as Sweeper, and we didn't even mention the Star Wars trailer, which was just fantastic.
Yeah, it was very good indeed.
And compared to the disappointment, it was Batman versus Superman.
JJ's on a roll, isn't he, at the moment? So
love it.
Let's hope he can crack the nut that so many have not managed.
Well, everybody's going to go and watch it just based on these trailers and all the kind of childhood memories, and hopefully that this gets the prequels out the way. Can you not do time travel and just say these never happened?
So one day. Anyway, thank you very much, and talk to you next week. Goodbye.
Ta-ra.